Let us all say amen. We want to thank the great God of heaven for allowing us again this morning to see yet another day. And as thank all our brothers for serving this morning, participating in our worship service on this morning. We're thankful for them, thankful for the song we sang, Father Alone. Sometimes we don't understand things now, but as the song said, Father Alone will understand those things. I want to thank you for assembling with us via the conference call on this morning to hear another portion of God's Word. And I want to speak this morning to your hearts this morning from the Word of God as we look at the life and the times in which we live. The times in which we live, and we'll talk about that from our message this morning, but we want those that are assembling with us that are not members of the Church of Christ, you are our honored guests, our VIPs, and we're thankful to have you on this morning. We want you to know from Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23, where Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not for man to, from a spiritual standpoint, to direct himself. He has to get guidance from God in those matters that relate spiritually. But also, we want to say that we live in a time, and I want to talk about that this morning, where John the Apostle writes to a young Christian about him praying for his financial, his physical, and spiritual well-being. And I want to speak this morning again to our hearts as we look at the Word of God, because we're living in a time now where, as we heard this morning again, those that are members of the body having lost loved ones, having funeralized on yesterday loved ones. And so I think it's needful as we look at the Word of God, as John said in his letter, he was praying for Gaius about these matters of financial, physical, and spiritual well-being. And I want to share with us that when it comes to your physical well-being, your mental health, and your emotional health are tied in to your physical health. You know, to go through some of the things that some have gone through, it affects us. And so I want to share from God's Word. You know, we live in a time now where, you know, you are, I'll use myself as an example. You're looking toward retirement where you can be financially able to retire. But there are some of us that would desire to retire, but because of situation and circumstances, you are going to a job that you choose. If it was your choice, you wouldn't go to anymore. You're going on those days when you don't feel well enough. But sometimes on the jobs, if I don't have the sick time, I don't have the time of crew to take off, I'm having to be to work sometimes when I'd rather be at home. And then we have situations now where we'll find, look at the Word of God, where the grandkids and the children are supposed to take care of the parents or the grandparents, but that thing has been turned around. Now you got grandparents raising grandchildren because of the failure in some cases of their parents from not rearing them. And so these are some of the burdens that we're faced with, that we have to deal with. And financially, sometimes that we'll find in the lesson, what are the guidelines, what are the principles that the Lord gives to us regarding our finances and managing those finances? What about my health? How important is it that I take care of my health? Well, we'll look into the Word of God on this morning, and we'll talk about the first two, that being financial and physical health. And this afternoon, the Lord say the same. We'll come back and we'll close with what John prayed for Gaius about his spiritual prosperity. And so let us look at the first two verses that was read in our hearing. The Bible says, the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So this love was genuine. This love was for real. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, that's financially, and be in health, that's physical, even as thy soul prospers. And that's a key point that I will address on this afternoon. Lord says the same. And so what I want to do now is show us that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul even prayed. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul prayed then for our spirit. That's our emotional and mental state. He also prayed for our soul that's going to live somewhere forever, and also for the body that we need to care for as we look at the Word of God. So I want to talk to us, those of us that sometimes I need to understand from the Word of God that it's important, my physical health is important, my getting medical advice is important as I care for myself. And I hopefully you are one that annually or more often you're having your blood drawn, because life is in the blood, the Bible says, and we need to know those things regarding our health that I'll talk about. So I want to talk to us again, to your hearts, about what foundational things does the Bible give us as it relates to our finances, physical and spiritual well-being. Well, I want to pray now for those that are on the call this afternoon and Christians as a whole. Let us pray. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, as the Apostle John done in times past for the young Christian, I want to pray for Christians this morning regarding their financial, their physical, and their spiritual well-being, dear Lord, as we look at those principles that are given in the Bible. May we adapt and acquire those guidelines, those principles that we can, through prayer and the Word of God, be able to deal and manage our health, our finances, and as importantly, our spiritual destination by following through your word. And dear Lord, I want to offer this prayer on behalf of all that are on the call that may not have rendered obedience to your word and become a Christian this morning. We want to ask them to open their hearts. And as we talk about these two areas this morning, and then at the close, share with them how they become a Christian, how they have a relationship or begin a relationship with you through their obedience to your word. We pray for them at this time also. We just thank you, dear Lord, for this privilege and this opportunity to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. This prayer we offer. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So I'll begin, as John had spoken to Gaius about these three areas. What does the Word of God teach concerning finances, which is matters relating to money and how it is spent and saved? You know, the Word of God offers for us that. Well, I want to begin when we talk about money. I will begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and the verse is number 7, because with any finance, it begins with God. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he let them know in verse number 6, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, letting them know that a man is supposed to purpose in his heart what he's going to give to a Lord. It's a purpose giving. And Paul said, grudgingly means it shouldn't be reluctantly. Why? Well, you are not eager to give. Nor do you give to the Lord because you think it's something that you must do. Paul reminded those Christians that God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, a giver that is ready and joyous about the opportunity to give. The Christian ought to be thankful and joyful that they are able to give back a portion of that which they have received to the Lord. And so with that, Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, wrote then, in their thought, where he says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, he said, now concerning the collection for the saints. This was the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, that every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. This is to acknowledge that when I have earned money rightfully, it is God that allows the successfulness of my earning. So I want to point that out to us as we talk about money. You can't talk about money and not start with God. So when it comes to money, God, in Genesis chapter 2, we'll start, go back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says concerning Adam, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. God gave the man a job, and a place to live. And I'll just say this here, man, no man, no Christian, I'm not ready to be married. If I'm a man, unless I have a job and I have a place to live. We find that from the Word of God. God gave man a job and told him to keep it. And then in verse number 19 concerning work, God said to Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. God made man that man was to work by the sweat of his face. And that's how he eats bread. And we need to know even today in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 concerning work and money. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and the verses number 10. Note what Paul said to the those of Thessalonica. He said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If a Christian is able to work and chooses not to, feeding them is in violation of the scripture. You know, we have to learn, we raise our children, we learn, we teach them to work. We teach them from growing up the importance of education. Education that allows you to get a livelihood, to get a job. So that's why education, secular and spiritual, is not optional in rearing our children. And sometimes we hurt our children when we give to them and they are not working or trying to move forward in life. Let's look briefly in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 16 regarding the, it's called oftentimes the prodigal son, who wanted to just get up and leave. He wanted to go on his own and live on his own. But notice when he got out there on his own, having not wanting to stay with his father, he wanted to get out, and he went out and wasted his living. But I want you to know what the Bible teaches us in this parable in verse number 16 concerning that young man. The Bible says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Sometimes when we make choices, as our old folk used to say, a tub must sit on its own bottom. We have to raise our kids that they be productive in society. They obey the word of God. They become Christians, and they learn that having a job and working is a part of parenting and directing those children, that you take them from the cradle. And your job parentally is to raise them up and allow them, Lord say the same, to get all the education they can, so that when they sign on that dotted line for their first 40-hour job, if that be the case, then you've done your part in rearing them and also raising them with the proper self-esteem that they understand about life itself. And I want to say to our young folk while we're in Luke, chapter number 14 and verse number 28, because when we talk about finances, you got to learn how to manage those finances. Jesus said, even though he was talking about the cost of discipleship, it can relate to us also when it comes to managing our financial affairs. Jesus said, which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? And I'm saying to our, I want to talk to all this morning, to our young people, I'm saying to you, you get all the education you can, and you need to be motivated to want to go to school. I know we're in challenging times where you may have to do learning through virtual learning, but education, do not allow the fact that education now has hurdles and obstacles to prevent you from getting all that you need because it's beneficial. Oftentimes, our livelihood is based on our education. And so to our young people, to our married couples, God gives us, Jesus gives us an example here. When it comes to finances, sit down first. Count up the cost. Manage your money. Don't spend more than you have. You have to manage those. Sit down first. Count up the cost. And if you don't have it, that's why God intended for women to manage the home. That's a God-given responsibility that you manage the home, be the domestic affairs that God has given. God has given them to the wife to manage those things. 1 Timothy 5:14, I'll share that from the Bible. Paul said to Timothy, I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, manage the home, give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully you as a Christian woman. So where does the Bible teach us about how to manage finances? Well, I think let's go Old Testament. In Proverbs chapter number 6, God used an insect to teach his human beings about management of things. In Proverbs chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 6, the proverb writer Solomon wrote, go to the ant, thy sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. What is her way? Solomon said, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. In other words, she don't have no one to, the ant has no one to manage their affair. But when you see ants, they work in unison. They work together. And that's what I'm saying to not only our young married couples, even our older married couples. We need to manage our affairs that we can retire and have money to live on and not have to just work when you don't want to work, when you can't physically work, but you have to manage your money so when the time comes, you're able to retire and live comfortably. But Solomon said, the ant provided, verse number 8, her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. So the Lord gives us Bible on how to, learning how to manage your income is extremely important to living as a Christian. You got to learn from the ant. The ant had meat in the summer, but they learned how during the harvest time to gather and to put up. Let us study a case in the Bible regarding management. Let's go back to Genesis. I want us to see the importance of managing and saving money and not spending as quick, because you don't know how long your body is going to hold up, how long you're going to have that job. But we have a biblical example in Genesis chapter 41 and beginning at verse number 28. Let us look and see the principle here. The Bible says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there came 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. We're talking about management now. We don't know when famine, we don't know if we're going to get laid off from a job. We can have all the plenty right now working all the overtime we want, but we may hit a famine. The Bible says, let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land. Take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. So Joseph's advice to Pharaoh, take 20% of your money, your land, take 20% while you're making all of this money. Put it away. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come. And lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the city. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. So you have to be wise and learn how to manage. We have a biblical example for this. The Bible says the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So Pharaoh said, could I find those that are Christians today? Share this with us. We are led. I want to say that we are led by the Spirit of God. We are led, and Paul made that clear in Romans 8:14. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so Pharaoh wanted someone who was led by the Spirit of God. And today, the Word of God is what influences our behavior. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as they are. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy words shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thee. So you need in the home, you need someone who is led by the Spirit of God that knows how to, that's discreet and wise, how to manage. But let us see the end result of what happened to God's people and Egypt, the land of Egypt, during that time period when the famine hit, because of the wisdom of Joseph, being led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in verse number 54, and the 7 years of drought began to come, according as Joseph said, and the drought was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt. Notice now, in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he said, do you. To you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold them to the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all the countries came into Egypt, to Joseph for to buy corn, grain, because the famine was so sore in all the land. What's the biblical example? The example we find in the Word of God is that if we learn to manage and to save when you hit those dry spots, some relationships have been severed, broken up over finances because no one is wise enough to manage the finances and to guide. Well, God has given us examples in the Bible how to manage. And regarding money, let me say this. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 before I end on the finances. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and the verse is number 17, because people say, well, so you're saying I can't enjoy myself with money? No, the Bible teaches clearly. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:17 to Timothy, he said, charge or instruct them that are rich in this world. There are some in the Lord's church that have money, that are rich in this world. Paul said that what you are to instruct them, that they be not high-minded, don't become conceited, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Nothing wrong with enjoying your earning from the Lord, provided you understand that what our brothers said today, he's giving to someone else. That's biblical. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 28, also remember this about your money that you earn. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working. We talked about that. With his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that need it. We should always work that we have to give to someone less fortunate than us. And on that same note, go back to 1 Timothy 5. Let me make this note before I move to our physical health. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 3. When I said earlier this in my lesson how we've gotten things backwards, now you having grandparents having to raise children, they're having to sometimes use their money that was saved for themselves to help raise kids. That's not how God designed it from the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and the verse is number 4, Paul said to Timothy, but if any widow have children or nephews, and nephews meant grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. And so when I think about the word piety, piety is the obligation on the part of children and grandchildren to express in a practical way their devotion to God towards their own family. And one could be your grandparent. You are to give to them. That's why the word requite means to pay back or to repay. It's children's obligation. It's not optional. It's not your choice. It's an obligation from God to give back to your parents. and grandparents, if that became, that's why we raise them to go out and be productive in society, so that when you get in your later years, you have productive children that can take care of you and not you taking care of them. We putting the cart before the horse and not in the proper order. The horse should be pulling the cart, not the other way around. We need to raise our children properly. Discipline them when necessary, that they are productive Christians in society. What does the Word of God say? Let's talk about our health now. What does the Word of God teach concerning our physical health and well-being, which involves our physical, mental, and emotional health? Yeah. So when I talk about physical health, I can, from the Word of God, look at it from a dietary, from a resting, and also from your emotional well-being. When you, and I'll talk about this here, when you've experienced things in life, it affects your mental and as much your emotions. But let's talk first what God designed for man. And we always have to go back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, and the verse is number 20. Now we're talking about man physically, praying for them. So in order for me to be the physical person that God would have to be, I have to follow the principles that God has given. Note what God said in Genesis 1 and verse number 29. And God said, "Behold, I have given unto you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you, it shall be for me." From the beginning, man was given an agricultural diet consisting of foods from the earth. God did that. God knew what was best for man. God knew how to keep man regulated and keep fiber in man's system. When we eat foods from the earth, that's where we get our fiber from. Yeah, that's where we get our fiber from. So God knew what was best for man. Yeah, God knew it. And so we found, however, can I eat meat? Yes, you can. The Bible gives us permission. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and the verse is number 3. Paul said to Timothy, there will be those that depart from the faith. He said they will forbid you to marry, and they were commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So man is free to eat meat according to the Word of God. But what we have to realize, we sometimes, especially if it's hereditary in my family, if blood pressure and cholesterol issues, that's why we need our blood work done so we can find out the cholesterol. Because remember this, I want to share with you, go to Meet Me in Daniel chapter 1 as we do a case study quickly in the Word of God. But I want to remind us that the body produces cholesterol itself, but cholesterol comes from animal products. And so when we are heavily eating a lot of meats and fats and different things like that, then we end up with cholesterol problem, because we, nothing wrong with eating, but I don't not eat certain things for religious reasons, but I can stop eating certain things because of my health. So we have to watch, and you know, we'll go to the doctor. I want to share this now. We'll go to the doctor. Whatever the doctor tell us and whatever the doctor tell us to take, we'll take the medicine and won't refuse to take the medicine. But I want to say also, I want to encourage all of us also, get the vaccination. Listen to the medical doctor. You go, you take medicine, and we say, well, I'll take pill. Well, you can take it by mouth, that pill in my pill, or you can take it, IM, which is intramuscular, that's through a shot, but you're still getting the medicine in your body. And I want to say, as it relates to your health, you need to take all the prevention that you can take. And it's sad that in this country, you have to pay a person to take care of their own health. That's a shame. You should want to take preventative measures. But I'm sharing with you from the Word of God what the Lord has said. And so concerning your health, let us study a case in the Bible regarding health eating. In Daniel chapter 1, we have an example for us as we talked about what God had put in place in Genesis 1. Notice the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, trying to move quickly. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. And the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should you see your face worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch has set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He said, prove or test your servant. I beseech thee, I beg you. Just give me 10 days. Let me, let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Some say it was lentils. Some say vegetables. But it was of that sort. He said, then let our conscience be looked upon before thee, and the conscience of the children eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, he said, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter and proved or tested them for 10 days. And the Bible records for us at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. So what are you saying, Brother Stiles, as an encouragement? What I'm encouraging us to do, that we can eat those things that we enjoy. Sure, sure, I love sweet. I love sweet, but I have to learn to do things in moderation. You have something called your A1C level, A1C level. Your blood work tells you that you can cause yourself to become a diabetic if I have too much sweets. And then if it's hereditary, I need to be more mindful of that. So what you're saying, Pastor, I'm just trying to share with us that the Word of God gives us principles that we can live healthier. And that's what the prayer was, that you be in health. How do you be in health? By giving you guidelines from the Word of God that you be more healthier. And so also, and back in Timothy's letter, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, as I try to move to a close in this lesson, Paul said then, First Timothy 4 and 8, for bodily exercise, he said, profited. There's the word little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which comes. So we need to also, we are designed to exercise the body. Whatever we can do, we need to exercise. That's in the Word of God. Bodily exercise. Get out and do what you can do. If I'm younger, I can do more. If I'm older, I can do less. But I can do something, because the body is designed to be exercised physically. And also, and I had to learn this, and thank Brother Brooks for helping me with learning this. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, that sleep is extremely important. Now, the Bible records in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let me say some things on that and then talk about the mental health, and the message is yours. Paul said to Timothy, to those in Thessalonica, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Then verse number 7 says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. And I want to say sleep is the natural state of rest during which your eyes are closed and you become unconscious. But I want to talk just briefly. I had to learn this. Thank Brother Brooks for sharing this with me. There are three stages of your sleep. One stage is what is called light sleep. During that time, the body processes memories and emotions and metabolizes. Our metabolism is regulated during your light sleep. A higher level is what is called your REM, or rapid eye movement sleep. This sleep provides energy to the brain and body and supports daytime performance. You know, and I want us to understand that during your sleep, I don't know if we know this, there is a spinal fluid that goes through your spine to your brain, and it basically, like a detergent, it washes all the trash out of your brain. That only happens during your sleep. Sleep is important, that the body is designed to care for itself, but we have to have, I not only have to eat right, I have to sleep right. And then you have what is called your deep sleep. Muscles are relaxed as tissue growth and repair occurs and energy is restored. And this occurs normally during the first half of your sleep or your night. So God has designed the body. Not only am I to eat healthy, not only should I exercise, but also I need to get the proper amount of sleep. And even our young kids, you know they need sleep. That's why babies, when they're first born, most of what they're doing is sleeping. And we need to continue that pattern where they're getting the proper amount of sleep so when they wake up, they can get hopefully a healthy breakfast and go and perform well. We need to do the same. And then as I close, I want to speak a little regarding your well-being. Your physical health is affected by both your mental and emotional health. You know, sometimes when we have a lot going on and our plate's overloaded and our stress is high, our blood pressure is elevated. We have to take blood pressure medication because if not, I can end up with a stroke or having a seizure. I can end up with a heart attack. So I need to be mindful of managing my mental health. Our mental health influences your thoughts and your actions. It covers your psychological, your social, and your emotional well-being. Yes, your mental health responds to situations, but also your emotional health. I'm saying this, I know we have those that have lost loved ones. Sometimes my mind, I'm able to react to it, but emotionally, which is your ability to manage and express your emotions that arise from what you've learned, experienced. Sometimes when we lose loved ones, it affects us emotionally, and that can affect our socialization. That can affect how we process and think things. So all of that, your emotional and your mental health is important to your physical health. It can, when you are stressed out, it affects your body. We pray that you get the help you need physically. If I'm eating too much sweets, I can become a diabetic that I'm on medication. But also understand the word of God. When I look in Peter's letter, and Peter writes about those things that I said in my preaching of Peter letter that we should add to our faith. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:6, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-control, being able to control yourself, your actions, and your thoughts and your desires. You have to control those things. So as I close, the prayer that I made this morning for all was for equality, financially, physically, and as we'll talk about this afternoon, spiritually, that there be equality. If you're on the call this morning, you should preach in the afternoon. I want to share with you that if you're not a Christian according to the Bible, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, then you're not a Christian according to the Bible. I want to share with you what Jesus said should be your priority in life in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he prioritized man's spiritual life when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if you're on the call this morning, you're not a Christian, you should be seeking the kingdom of God. And then in John chapter 3, we saw how one was added to the kingdom. In John chapter 3, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. But no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in order to become a part of that which Jesus said you should seek first, the person has to be born again, not physically, but spiritually. And so when that happens, the Lord, how does that happen? In Romans chapter 6, we have an example. Romans chapter 1, the Bible teaches us, I get to chapter 6, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, for the sake of time, I'll give you that scripture to read. But the gospel is three facts: that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried in a tomb, he rose again the third day, and with his blood on the cross, he purchased the church. And so one becomes a Christian. And in Romans chapter 6, Paul said, what shall we say then? He reminded them of something. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, or God would not allow. How shall we, notice now, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? How do you die to sin? Paul told them, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, water baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So how does one become a Christian? You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sins, you confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, Acts 8:37, then you culminate that by being water baptized, then the Lord will add you to the church, and that's in Acts Romans 16:16 gives the descriptive phrase of the churches of Christ, that who it belonged to. And in Acts 2:47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church, which is the kingdom of God, daily such as to be saved. Nobody is saved until they are added to the church. No one that is of age of accountability is saved until you obey the Lord. And so I thank you this morning for listening and being helped. And we'll talk this afternoon, even as thy soul prospers. I thank you very much for your attention on this morning.